hypnotizing her with his demanding mastery. She felt transported to a higher plane. The needy pulses inside her beat faster, throbbed harder, and at the same time she felt lighter, lost in him. He shifted them to the center of the bed. His hips rocked between her thighs, spreading them wider, and pressed his girth against her center, hard and persistent. Her insides tightened and pulled, wanting all of him. When his hands moved to the swell of her hips, she lifted for him, and he held her firmly as his cock, sheathed in his briefs, teased and rubbed against her damp panties. His mouth left hers, claiming her neck with savage intensity.
"Bullet, I can't... wait."
She gasped, pushing at the back of his briefs as he sucked and licked, his beard and teeth sending need careening through her. He blazed a path down her body, rougher than before, biting and sucking like nothing would ever be enough. Every sharp bite, every lick and stroke made her writhe and beg for more. She never imagined roughness could be so hot. But her body was on fire, shaking with desire. She didn't want to be taken and lavished. She wanted to give everything she had. A fleeting worry zipped through her with the newness and shock of her loss of inhibitions. But everything about Bullet, from his intensity to the caring man beneath the armor, made her want to climb into his world and explore the carnal side of herself that was vibrating beneath her skin. Feeling breathless and bold, she pushed at his shoulders as he tasted every inch of her skin. "Bullet," she pleaded, but he just moaned and continued driving her out of her mind. "Bullet," she said harsher, and he lifted his head, brows pulled together. God, she loved his intensity.
"I want to..."
She pushed at his chest again, and he rolled to his side, clutching the swell of her hip. She brazenly moved down his body, kissing and touching, trembling with the newness of taking control. She kissed his stomach, his body hair tickling her cheeks. His manly scent amped up her arousal. She slicked her tongue along the hot flesh just above his briefs, earning another gratuitous groan. She lifted the waistband of his briefs, her heart thundering against her ribs as his shaft came into focus. She slicked her tongue over the broad head, slow and determined, causing his entire body to flex. He uttered a curse and grabbed her by the hair, tilting her head up so she had no choice but to look into his eyes. She knew she wasn't as experienced as him, but the need and undeniable deeper emotions she saw swimming in his eyes told her none of that mattered. She quickly tugged down his briefs, freeing his eager erection, and he made quick work of kicking them off. Still lying on his side, he fisted his hand in her hair. The heat of his gaze burned through her as she dragged her tongue along the length of his shaft. He let out a hiss that slithered beneath her skin. Spurred on by this reaction, she did it again, earning a darker, sexier noise. Those sounds were like a drug, and she needed her next hit. She wrapped her fingers around him and teased over the crown again, then dragged her tongue from base to tip, getting him nice and wet. When she fisted his cock, his hips bucked, and his thick arousal pushed through her hand with such power, her sex clenched in anticipation. She lowered her mouth around him, earning a long, appreciative growl. Her heart pounded out an erratic rhythm as she surrendered to her desires, consuming every inch of him and sucking for all she was worth. His cock swelled in her hand, and she worked him faster, took him in deeper, until his every muscle was corded so tight she knew he was on the verge of exploding. A mild panic bloomed inside her. She wanted this, to drive him wild, to taste the very essence of him. But more than that, she longed to be in his arms, to feel him inside her as close as two people could be. She gazed up at him, and his hands slid from her hair to her cheeks, the warmth in his eyes melting her from the inside out. He carefully brought her up beside him so they were face to face, and kissed her once, twice, three times. Her feelings intensified with every single touch of his lips. Her eyes fluttered open, and he whispered, "I need you." The way he said it, emphatic and impassioned, made his meaning unclear, But it didn't matter if he meant sexually or emotionally, because as he carefully lowered her to her back and took off her panties, she knew in her heart the two were tightly intertwined. He went up on his knees, a glorious, solid man, so thick and powerful all over, his body a map of fears, tragedies, and hope. Her pulse quickened as he reached for his wallet and withdrew a condom. His gaze never left hers as he tore it open and rolled it on. A sensuous wave passed between them as he came down over her and gazed deeply into her eyes. He felt different without clothes on, heavier, warmer, closer. "Say you're mine," he whispered, before lowering his mouth to hers. He was so demanding and confident he hadn't given her time to respond. She smiled into their kiss. Their connection was too solid, too real, for him not to know that she would have said, "I'm yours, Bullet. Truly yours." Their bodies came together slowly, his girth spreading her wider, his arms holding her tighter as he filled her so completely she could barely breathe. She pressed her hands on the back of his hips, not wanting him to move until she'd had a chance to know the feel of him by heart. But the pressure of him inside her, the feel of his fingers curling around her shoulders and their tongues dancing to an urgent exploratory beat, was too much, and she had to move. Trapped beneath his weight, it was all she could do to press deeper into the mattress, then rock upward. They quickly fell into sync, every thrust striking that magical chord. Bullet pushed his hands beneath her bottom, angling her up so he could love her deeper. And Lord Almighty, the man was a sexual master. He thrust and pumped, ground and pulsed until she was clawing at his back. Her legs lifted and shifted, trying to wrap around his waist, but he was too big, the angle too severe. In one fell swoop he rose and trapped her knees beneath his torso, driving into her hard and fast. She cried out with the intensity of the pleasures, the visceral greed coursing through her. His chest came down over hers, her knees pushed out to the sides of his hips, and he grabbed hold of her bottom again, spreading her cheeks to a painful distance apart. She whimpered with the shock of what felt like her skin tearing, but then he pistoned his hips, sending turbulent tides of passion crashing over her. She gasped, and he did it again, until pain and pleasure shattered like glass inside her, and she lost all control, bucking and crying out, thrashing as her sex convulsed. "Don't stop, don't stop, don't stop," she begged. But she needn't have worried. He was so lost in the moment. He buried his face in her neck and sank his teeth into her skin, sending her careening once again. Indiscernible sounds flew from her lungs, as unstoppable as their emotions. Their flesh was slick and heated, their breathing choppy and hindered. Bullet intensified his efforts, and suddenly he released her bottom and his arms pushed beneath her back, cradling her so tightly against him that she felt his heart thundering against hers. Her skin was on fire. Her body tingled from head to toe, like a thousand needles prickling at once, as another orgasm built up inside her. Bullet sealed his mouth over hers, their bodies moving in exquisite harmony. The heat of his desire seared down the length of her as his entire body tensed up, and he thrust deeper, grinding out her name as they found their mutual release. As Bullet took care of the condom, Finley got her first look at his bare back, and a sinking feeling moved through her stomach. While the front of his torso was covered with multiple images and scenes, his back was one giant mask of darkness. The face she'd seen tattooed on the hulking figure standing guard at the cave on his sternum looked back at her. Dark voids, sunglasses, covered both shoulder blades, sightlessly staring back at her, below coiled and pointed brows. A skeletal nose and jaw and a mouth full of jagged fangs were surrounded by the kind of decorative swirls she'd seen on iron rails. Crosses, Jewish stars and other religious symbols covered the backs of his arms and elbows. When he climbed back into bed, gathering Finley in his arms, the world came back into focus. His body was as tightly wound as a mattress coil, and her full heart chipped away. She didn't want to bring up the image that was more terrifying than the others, but she couldn't help herself. even though she knew it would take a lifetime to fully understand the man beneath the ink.
"You're back," she whispered. "It scares me."
He kissed her forehead, holding her tighter. "Don't let it. It's the Dark Knight's emblem. It's such a big part of me. When I was young, it was my strength and my undoing. Now it's only strength, baby." She breathed a little easier.
"And your elbows and arms?"
An unexpected smile lifted his lips. "There's so much baseless hate in the world. I wear all the symbols proudly and will protect the people who follow them equally. It's just a way for me to honor the human race. It's like getting in haters' faces and saying, 'Go ahead, try to fuck with someone around me.'"
"You're amazing,"
she whispered, curling into his warmth, wishing they could stay like that until morning, though she knew he would eventually have to leave.
"No, just doing the right thing."
He seemed to always do the right thing, which made her wonder more about his teenage years, when he'd been so confused about towing the line with his family and the motorcycle club. But he seemed at peace with that line now, and she was glad for it.
"I hate that I can't stay the night,"
he said, and kissed her forehead. She closed her eyes, knowing he was just as unhappy about his having to leave as she was.
"Do you think Tink would be okay for just one night?"
she asked, and immediately regretted it.
"I'm sorry. I don't mean that. I don't want you to leave her alone. I know how much you two need each other."
"That's only part of it, babe." He crushed her to him and put his thigh over her hip, cocooning her against his solid frame.
"Nightmares?"
she asked softly. He didn't respond, which made her want to be with him even more. But how could she ever ask him to leave Tinkerbell for a night? To some people, a dog was simply a pet. But it was clear that Tinkerbell was as integral a part of Bullet's healing as the scars were daily reminders. They lay together for a long while, each lost in their own thoughts in the silence of the bedroom. When they finally, reluctantly, gave in to the end of their evening, Bullet stood on her front porch with her face in his hands and a tortured look in his eyes, and said,
"You deserve more than a broken soldier, but I can't give you up. I know that's selfish, but I can't, Fins. Not even after only a few days."
"My mother used to say that the best parts of cobbler weren't the big pieces that everyone gobbled down, but the broken ones left behind. Those were drenched in sweetness, but only some people were lucky enough to realize it. I realize it, Bullet. I want only you."
He pressed his lips to hers with a disbelieving expression and said, "Lock up tight tonight, Lollipop."
Finley watched the taillights of his truck disappear in the darkness, wishing things could be different. And as she locked the door and followed the scent he'd left in his wake back to her bedroom, she wondered if it was possible for her heart to feel full and torn at the same time. She'd been broken, too. She hadn't thought she was capable of feeling anything toward a man after losing Aaron. But as she crawled back into bed, resting her head on the pillow where Bullet had just lain, she realized she hadn't been broken after all. She simply hadn't been with the right person until now. She closed her eyes, images of Bullet swimming in her mind, and wondered if he wasn't quite as broken as he thought either.
Chapter 12 After a quick call to Penny, Finley packed up the doggy treats she'd made at the crack of dawn Sunday morning and followed the directions on the GPS down a long, windy rural road, not far from Whiskey Bros, to a narrow driveway. Long, unkempt grass gave the property an abandoned feel. An old, dilapidated red barn came into focus, and the overgrown meadows disappeared, as if swallowed up by gorgeous rock gardens interspersed with trees and lush bushes, fall flowers and greenery. The gardens, though beautiful, contrasted with the disrepair of the chipped and weathered red barn. A peaked metal roof hung over the edge of the building, as if it belonged to a larger structure and had been mistakenly put on this one. A newish double window was centered above two rustic garage doors, framed with unpainted wood. The garage doors were the old type, like she'd seen in Western movies, comprised of vertical weathered wood planks. Two planks formed an X on each door, giving them an off-limits aura. Beside the right garage door was what appeared to be a scuffed and marred front door, above which was a lower-pitched roof that slanted toward the ground, ending at the same height as the door. A single light bulb hung from a black iron fixture beside the door. Finley put her Suburban in park and looked down at the GPS, wondering if Penny had given her the wrong address. The deep woof of a dog sent her heart into her throat. She gasped, and the phone tumbled to the floor. Clinging to the steering wheel, she peered out her windows. "This is definitely the right house." Thank goodness she sat up high in the van. She did not want to be eye to eye with the Rottweiler pacing beside the driver's door. Finley had forgotten how big Bullet's dog was, though Dixie had since told her Tinkerbell was only a puppy. Liar. Cujo had a head the size of a watermelon and beady dark eyes. She fished around at her feet for her phone as she reprimanded herself. "It's just a dog. Bullet's dog." She felt the phone between her fingertips. "He sleeps with her, for goodness sakes. How vicious can she be?" "Woof!" she shrieked, sending the phone flying again, and pressed her forehead to the steering wheel, fighting the urge to flee. The sound of motorcycles roared up the driveway, and she shot a look in her rearview mirror, catching sight of two motorcycles. Flipping perfect. Unable to sleep past sunrise, which had always been pretty much the norm for Bullet, he was dicking around with one of his bikes in the garage when he heard motorcycles approaching. Tinkerbell woofed again. Bullet wiped his hands on a rag, raised the garage door, and stopped cold at the sight of Finley's pink chickmobile in the driveway. His brother's bikes sped up the driveway behind her. It was the perfect day for a ride, and he itched to feel the raw power between his legs, the gust of the world rushing by, and the exhilaration of his entire being on high alert in a numbing combination of anxiety and thrill. The only thing that had ever come close to mirroring that all-consuming pleasure was last night when he was buried deep inside Finley. He strode across the driveway toward her van, and her gorgeous, panicked face came into focus. A single sharp whistle and hand motion sent Tinkerbell down on her belly, panting excitedly about a new person to play with. "Fat chance, girl." As Bear and Bones climbed off their bikes and whipped off their helmets, their cocky smiles eased the knot that had formed in his chest as he'd paced the floor for hours last night, keeping him and Tinkerbell awake. Bear helped Crystal off the back of his bike and said, "You look like hell," to Bullet before dropping to his knees and loving up Tinkerbell. Bullet gritted his teeth against the memory of how much it had sucked to leave Finley last night, and tried to calm the crazy shit going on in his stomach as he approached the van. Finley white-knuckled the steering wheel with both hands, her eyes as wide as saucers. "Hey, babe, how about you roll down the window?" Her eyes shot to Tinkerbell, who was lying on her back with her feet up in the air while Bear scratched her belly. Finley rolled the window down an inch as Crystal came to Bullet's side. He put an arm around Crystal and said, "How are you feeling, sweetheart?"
"Better. My stomach's been quirky for the last week or so, but I'm good."
She smiled at Finley.
"How's it going, Finn? Are you going to stay in that big spoon of Pepto-Bismol all day or come out and say hi?"
"How about you give us a minute?" Bullet said, releasing Crystal.
"Hey, bro."
Bones slapped Bullet on the shoulder as he walked by on his way to join the others. Bullet grabbed the door handle and renewed panic filled Finley's eyes. He opened the door and blocked the opening with his body.
"Hey, sweet girl. What are you doing here?"
"I was thinking. You came to see me after that accident when you said everything inside you told you to walk away. That was hard for you. So I pulled up my big girl panties and thought if I could get to know Tinkerbell, that maybe we could spend more time together."
His heart swelled to near bursting. She leaned closer and whispered,
"But I didn't know you had plans, and I might have overshot my abilities. I'm not sure I can go anywhere near her."
"I know one way to help you get past that fear."
He leaned into the van, wrapped her in his arms, and kissed her. He felt the tension drain from her body and continued kissing her, until her hands left the steering wheel to embrace him. And then he deepened the kiss, because nothing, nothing, was better than this.
Better?
He pressed a softer kiss to her lips.
Now I'm turned on and scared.
He chuckled.
Do you trust me?
She nodded.
I know a thing or two about overcoming fears. Can you give me a few minutes? Promise me you won't take off?
If you guys have plans, I can come back.
She glanced at Bear and Crystal, both crouched beside Tinkerbell. Bones had his back to the van, his phone pressed to his ear.
We don't. Give me a sec.
He closed the door, relief pushing through him like a gale-force wind as he headed into the barn, returning with one of Tinkerbell's leashes. As he hooked it on her collar, Bear said,
"What's up with Finley?"
"She's afraid of dogs."
Crystal went to the van and said, "Tinkerbell's really sweet. She just looks mean, like Bullet."
"Christ."
Finley made a pleading face.
"She won't hurt you," Crystal urged.
Finley rolled down the window a little further and said,
"I'm sure she won't, but I'm still scared of dogs. Any dogs. Chihuahuas scare me, which I know is silly, but I'm trying because..."
She glanced at Bullet again, and his gut went funky again.
"We came by to see if you were sure you didn't want to join us on our ride," Bear explained. "Finley can come along, make a day of it."
"She doesn't ride," Bullet said.
"You don't ride?"
Crystal asked Finley. Finley shook her head with an apologetic expression.
"Neither did I when I first met Bear," Crystal said. "Maybe after you conquer Tink, you can learn to ride."
"That would be a big if, and I don't know if I can handle two things at once. First, let me get through this," Finley said.
Bullet handed the leash to Bear. "Finn was attacked by a dog when she was younger. Think you can stick around long enough for me to get her out of the van?"
"Whatever you need."
Bear took the leash. He crouched with an arm around Tinkerbell again and said,
"You need to be sweet, Tink."
Then to Crystal, he said,
"Come here, sugar, let's give Bullet some room to work his magic."
Magic.
If only he had one-tenth as much as Finley did.
Bullet opened the door to the van and turned Finley so she was facing him.
Holy hell, where did his girl shop? Turn on your man.com?
She wore a flimsy short pink dress and brown leather boots that laced up to her knees, beneath which were some sort of frilly socks that went halfway up her thighs. Her outfit was completed with a wristful of bracelets and a flowery ring on her right hand.
"Sweet baby Jesus, Lollipop.
Did you dress to make me want to lay you down in the back of the van on purpose?"
"What?"
She gasped and looked down at her outfit.
"No. I wore tall boots so Tink couldn't get at my legs, and this is one of my favorite dresses. I figured I should be as comfortable as possible."
"Well," he said as he adjusted himself, "at least one of us will be."
She giggled.
"Sorry."
He put his hands on her hips and tugged her against him, trying not to think about what type of panties she had on under that slinky little dress.
Fuck. Now that was all he could think about.
"What's going on?"
Bones asked, jerking Bullet's mind back into submission.
"Finn's afraid of dogs," Bear explained.
As his brothers talked, Bullet gazed into Finley's eyes and said,
"Tink will listen to everything I say, but she's a puppy. She's going to get excited, and she might bark or wiggle around, because she's straining not to jump up and kiss your face, okay?"
She gulped and nodded. Her eyes shifted in Tinkerbell's direction. Tinkerbell was licking Bear's face.
"Has she ever bitten anyone?"
"Never, and she isn't trained to attack. She's trained to behave, babe. She's my girl. I'd never put her in danger, any more than I'd put you in danger, and she knows it."
Finley's gaze softened and a genuine smile appeared.
"I love how much you love her."
"I take care of the things I love. And I want to take care of you.
She's docile enough to let Lincoln crawl all over her and Kennedy hug her up. But before I bring you over to meet her, I want you to know how much it means to me that you're here. I don't know big enough words to say it, but thank you."
"I take care of the things I care about, too," she said softly.
Chapter 13 Finley stepped from the van, remaining glued to Bullet's side. Her pulse was sprinting, even though Tinkerbell was leashed. Bear and Bones flanked her. In their dark jeans and leather jackets, they looked like biker bodyguards. Bullet was a wall of concentration, watching her and his pup intently. What must it feel like to be him right now, with a girlfriend who was petrified of the animal that made him feel safe? Finley reached for his hand, and he glanced down at her with concern in his eyes. "I brought her treats that I made. Will that help?" His lips tipped up.
"Only if you want my 80-pound girl trying to snarf food out of your hands."
He glanced at Tinkerbell and then back at Finley.
"You made her treats?"
She nodded. "I couldn't sleep, so I looked up the healthiest treats for puppies. I made them shaped like bones." Her eyes flicked up to Bones, and she said, "The doggy kind." His brothers chuckled. Crystal tucked her dark hair behind her ear and said, "Aw, it might have been fun to see Tink gobbling down little Bones." Tinkerbell's head popped up, and she took a step toward Bullet. Bear held tight to the leash and said, "Stay, Tink." Finley exhaled a long breath.
"Here's how this is going to go."
Bullet lifted her hand and pressed a kiss to the back of it.
"You're scared, and she's going to sense that.
When Kennedy gets scared, Tink rallies around her. She might whimper, she might try to lick you, but she will not try to bite you, okay?" Finley nodded.
"I can't help being scared."
"I know, it's okay, but you need to know that she has feelings, too. She hurts when people she loves hurt. See how she's watching you, watching us? She sees your hand in mine. She senses that you're important to me. She'll act on that."
"Okay,"
came out in a whisper.
"When we walk over, I'm going to have her lie down, and then I want you to offer your hand to her. Let her smell you."
He lifted her hand to his nose and inhaled deeply. "She'll smell your sweetness and will probably lick your hand. When you feel comfortable, you can pet her, okay? No pressure, but if you can keep from screaming and running away, that would be best."
Finley smiled, remembering how she'd freaked out in the parking lot at Whispers.
"I'm not going to do that again. I think I can handle this. I mean, look how she is with you guys. I already feel like a loser for needing an army of protection from your dog."
"Everyone needs support," Bones said.
A comforting glance passed between him and Bullet. She could only imagine how the rest of Bullet's family would have rallied around him had he shared the worst of his experiences with them. She wondered if he'd still have nightmares and flashbacks if he'd gotten it out of his system.
"You can totally do this," Crystal said. "By the way, that outfit is the bomb."
She whipped out her phone and took a picture.
"I'm going to make one like it, but black."
Crystal made many of her own clothes, as well as costumes for Gemma's princess boutique. Finley's thoughts shifted to clothes, and the distraction took her nervousness down a notch.
"Ready?" Bullet asked.
"No."
She smiled and said, "But let's do it anyway." Holding her hand tight, he motioned with his other hand and said,
"Tink, lie down."
Tinkerbell lowered herself to her belly again, her long paws stretched out before her. Her head was perched high, her tongue hanging out like she couldn't wait for them to come over. Tinkerbell had a broad head and body, a black face, and brown fur around her snout and down her chest, which made her look like she was wearing a dark mask. But lying there, with her ears twitching and her front paws stretched out, she looked concerned, excited, and a little confused.
"Join the party. I'll be sweet if you will," Finley thought nervously.
Bear crouched, one arm around Tinkerbell, and nodded at Bullet. Finley loved the way they stuck together in everything. Even something as silly as helping his fearful girlfriend get to know his dog.
"Okay, babe. Go nice and slow."
Her heart beat frantically as she stepped forward, clinging to Bullet's hand. She offered her other hand to Tinkerbell, trembling as the pup stretched her neck toward her hand. It took all of Finley's focus not to pull back when Tinkerbell's nose touched her hand and her tongue tickled over it. Nervous laughter fell from Finley's lips. Bullet stepped behind her. his big body like a wall of strength for her to borrow from.
"Kneel down, sweetheart," he said in her ear.
She was suddenly engulfed by memories of their bodies tangled together last night and his hot breath on her neck. Her knees weakened, and kneeling wasn't so difficult anymore. He went down with her, one arm around her back, the other reaching out to pet Tinkerbell. What was wrong with her that she was thinking about how close they'd been when 5 minutes ago she'd been scared out of her mind?
"That's my girl," he said coaxingly.
She wasn't sure which of them he was talking to, but she had a feeling it was both, and it made her appreciate his big heart even more. Bullet knew only one way to love, and that was to love hard. Knowing he'd never put either one of them in danger eased the knots inside her.
"You okay?" he asked.
"Yes," she answered, breathing deeply. "Actually, I'm doing pretty well." Tinkerbell crept forward, still lying on her belly, her pleading eyes tugging at Finley's heartstrings as she weaseled between her and Bullet and nosed at Bullet's belly. Bullet used his free hand to love her up, then pressed a kiss to the top of her snout.
"That's my girl."
Finley reached over and petted her too. Her fur was short but soft, and she felt solid like Bullet. Tinkerbell lifted her face, and Finley pulled back.
"It's okay, she just wants to kiss you," Bullet assured her.
Finley closed her eyes. Tinkerbell's scratchy tongue licked up her cheek, making all of them laugh. She sank down to her butt beside Tinkerbell, the cold concrete prickling the backs of her thighs, as Tinkerbell lay her big head on Finley's leg and sighed. Finley petted her, growing more comfortable. When she stopped petting her, the pup whimpered and licked her leg. They sat on the driveway for a long while, getting to know each other, Finley and the dog who had become Bullet's security blanket. Her love for the pup grew as she thought about how much Tinkerbell meant to Bullet, how much she helped him, and how much Bullet had helped her. Soon everyone was talking and laughing, and Tinkerbell was sitting pressed against Finley's side. And for the first time in years, she was okay around a dog. The joy in Bullet's eyes, the laughter he so rarely shared, and that sexy smile that she didn't see often enough, was worth every second of the trepidation she'd experienced, and the sleepless night she'd spent gathering the courage to drive out there and try to overcome her fears. Finley took a long look at the three big men sitting on the pavement like they didn't mind at all. Bear's arm was around Crystal, and they were both smiling as he stole kisses after every word she said. Bones and Bullet were reminiscing about when Bullet had first found Tinkerbell. The love between them was so rich and real, she felt buffered from the rest of the world and blessed to be welcomed into their world. "Thank you all for helping me through this. I'm sure you had better things to do than play babysitter this morning." Bear pushed to his feet, bringing Crystal up beside him.
"We're heading out for a ride. How about we break that motorcycle cherry of yours next?"
"Bear!" Crystal elbowed him. "One major life event at a time."
"Watch it, bro," Bullet warned as the rest of them rose to their feet. Bear shrugged. "Just trying to help."
Tinkerbell leaned against Finley's side as they said their goodbyes, and Bullet's brothers and Crystal took off for their ride. Finley couldn't believe she'd actually gone through with overcoming a fear she'd lived with for more than a decade. Bullet gathered her in his arms and said,
"How are you really holding up?"
As she soaked in the warmth of his embrace, she knew she might never have done it if it weren't for him. "Surprisingly well. I can't promise I won't be fearful of other dogs, but at least this is a step in the right direction."
"A huge step."
He brushed his thumb over her cheek and said, "I know how hard it is to face your fears, and I'm really proud of you." "Thank you. I knew Tink took after her papa with those dark eyes and that intimidating stance, but I didn't realize she had your big heart, too."
"Thanks, babe."
Worry washed over his features.
"Were you afraid of me when you first saw me?"
"No, I just didn't know what to make of you. You looked like a bully, all big and bad, and you spoke too roughly. I mean, come on. The first thing you ever said to me was offering me a ride on the bullet train." She laughed, and he silenced her with a kiss.
It didn't surprise her that he didn't try to refute it or give her an explanation. Bullitt made no excuses for who he was, and that was only one of the reasons she was so drawn to him.
"Think you can stay for a while? I have something I want to show you."
"Is it anything like what you showed me last night?" she asked playfully.
A deep, seductive noise sounded in his throat, as his lips came down over hers in a kiss so warm and wonderful, so perfect, she never wanted it to end. But Tinkerbell had other ideas and nudged her big head between them, making them both laugh. He took Finley by the hand and led her toward the backyard, with Tinkerbell trotting happily along beside them. More elaborate gardens came into view, with slate paths snaking between them. One path led to a small patio with a stone fireplace, and another weaved toward the far side of the yard, where a pond glistened in the late morning sun. There were acres of green space as far as she could see, so picturesque she couldn't look away.
"Can you stay long enough for a walk? Tink loves to walk around the pond."
"My only plans for today have been accomplished. I'm yours for as long as you'd like."
"Careful, Lollipop. I might never let you go."
"You think that's some kind of threat?" Finley bumped her hip against Bullitt as they walked along his property, tossing a ball for Tinkerbell.
"Most women would think so."
He took the ball from Tinkerbell's mouth and threw it across the yard. The pup bolted after it.
"Maybe if you said you were going to tie them up and chain them to a bed..."
"Christ, Lollipop. You can't walk around in that outfit and talk like that, or you might end up chained to my bed."
She spun around, facing him with a radiant smile and sunlight glittering in her eyes.
"I think getting to know your dog is enough of a challenge for one day."
He hauled her against him.
"Don't worry, babe. I'm not into feeling trapped, and I'd never want you to feel that way either."
He lowered his lips to hers, and then Tink's snout pushed between them. He reluctantly pulled back and took the ball from her mouth, tossing it away again, farther this time.
"I think my girl's jealous."
"I would be too if you had your lips on someone else."
She took his hand, and they continued to walk around the gardens.
"How long have you lived here?"
"A few years. I stayed in the apartment above the auto shop for the first few months while I pulled my shit together. Quincy and Jed live there now, and True stayed there before them. It was too confining for me, and sleeping out on the balcony got old real fast. I spent a lot of time at the bar instead of going home. Then one day I was out for a ride, and I saw this place. It was in foreclosure, and I got it for a song. There's lots of room for my bikes, room to breathe."
She glanced up at the house.
"It's not what you're used to, Lollipop. That dollhouse you live in is mighty nice, but I'm a bare-bones kind of guy. Give me a mattress and some fresh air, and I'm good."
She pressed herself against his side as Tinkerbell barreled toward them with the ball in her mouth.
"Do you sleep outside?"
"On occasion, but my place is so open I don't usually feel too closed in."
She seemed to think about that as he tossed the ball again.
"Well, you sure lucked out with the gardens. I've never seen a yard like this."
"It was pretty much all dirt when I moved in."
He steered her across the yard toward the pond, hoping to avoid talking about why he had such elaborate gardens.
"Then you must have an amazing gardener."
"My father was, before his stroke."
Biggs had suffered the stroke while Bullitt was away on tour, which added to the guilt Bullitt wore like a lead coat.
"So he did this. Dixie told me he suffered his stroke while you were in the military, but you said you bought this place afterward. Does he still garden? I know he walks with a cane, and the stroke hindered his speech."
As much as he didn't want to appear weak in Finley's eyes, he wanted her in his life, and he knew that meant he had to be completely honest. His chest constricted with the thought of exposing so much of himself, but he'd already ripped open so many wounds in her presence, he told himself this was just giving her a bird's-eye view of the wreckage.
"Not really. Even though I didn't come home until months after I was discharged, I was still pretty messed up when I got back to the harbor. I hate labels, but there's no escaping PTSD. It really screwed with my head."
He filled his lungs with crisp air, watching Tinkerbell roll around in the grass.
Back then, flashbacks hit hard and nightmares came often. I was with my parents one afternoon, and my father asked me to clean up my mother's gardens. I was a mess, Finn. I was angry and out of control. And it didn't matter that I'd served my country. I felt like a fucking failure. I told you I'd waited to enlist because I had to watch over my brothers and sister, and then I had the crushing weight of trying to figure out what that really meant. By the time I enlisted, I had gotten into trouble and brought some bad shit down on my father and the motorcycle club by infiltrating the wrong territory outside of the harbor. I was young and stupid, but I knew I had to get my act together. Being away when my old man suffered his stroke messed me up even more. There I was, overseas, years later, still torn over where I really belonged, and... He swallowed the confession that he'd only shared with Bones, the event that had led to his medical discharge. But when he gazed into Finley's compassionate eyes, he couldn't keep from sharing his innermost secret with her. You already know about the terrible shit that goes on in wars. I was in the middle of my third tour, and when you're in the thick of it, you don't question or sit around and wonder how to get out from under the shadow of it. Your only focus is surviving and making sure your brothers in arms make it out alive. Even the fact that you're doing it for a bigger purpose gets lost when you see men you've fought with, laughed with, given shit to go down. A bead of sweat formed on his brow, and he swiped at it with his forearm. You don't have to share this with me. I don't want to ruin your afternoon. Babe, you're here. Nothing can ruin today. She leaned her head against his arm, and it eased the tension in his chest. Anyway, one of the guys went down. He was bleeding real bad. Like, so much I knew he didn't have time to wait for the medics to come to him. I threw him over my shoulders. He motioned to each side. I held one leg over my left shoulder and his chest pressed to my right, and I hauled ass trying to find a medic. I didn't feel the bullets when they hit me. When I finally went down, I twisted so the guy I was carrying landed on my chest. There was blood everywhere, and I was pumped with adrenaline. I didn't know I'd been hit. My only thought was to save the other soldier. I spotted a medic and pushed to my knees, threw the injured guy over my shoulder, and made it a few more steps before collapsing. He had blood pouring out of his wounds. And when I laid him down, that's when I saw the new wound in his chest. I was leaning over him, holding his hand, telling him we'd get him out of there to hang on. Jesus, I would have given my own life to save his. That's when I realized blood was pouring from my chest, where the bullets had gone through me and hit him. He said all sorts of things while I tried like hell to stop the bleeding in his gut and legs, his chest. He was so fucking brave all the way to the end, telling me to save myself. I held him against me as he took his last breath. I'll never forget the feel of that. And then everything went black. His heart hammered against his ribs with the memories, and he steeled himself for a flashback. But the words still came, and the flashback remained at bay. I woke up in a military hospital, thrashing, and trying to get back to the field. In my head, that's where I belonged. That's all that mattered. But I had taken a lot of fire, and they wanted to notify my family because they weren't sure I'd make it. I told them I'd sue their asses if they contacted anyone before I was dead. My family had been through enough with my dad's stroke, and we had lost my uncle who ran the auto shop after that. By the time I was hit, Bear had been running both for a few years, and Dixie was helping him. My father had gone through physical therapy, and their lives were finally stable again. They didn't need the stress of not knowing if I'd survive, or of caring for me if I ended up too fucked up to function. But what if you'd died? They wouldn't have been able to say goodbye. Tears slid down Finley's cheeks. I know my family loves me. I wanted them to remember me strong, not in a hospital bed riddled with bullet holes. But you were alone through all of that? Yeah, but it was no big deal. He wiped her tears and pressed his lips to hers. It was a very big deal. She wrapped her arms around him, holding him so tight he shut his eyes against his own emotions.
I hate knowing that you went through that alone.
He remembered what she'd said about her late boyfriend, and guilt consumed him.
He shouldn't have told her, shouldn't have made her sad.
Hey.
He tipped up her chin and kissed her again.
I was fine, Fins. Fucked up, slammed with PTSD, but I was okay, and I wasn't alone the whole time.
He took her hand as they walked beside the pond, needing to move.
Once I healed enough, I called Bones, who hooked me up with a buddy of his, that therapist I mentioned the other night. And a few months later, when I felt like I had my head on straighter, I came home. All my family knows is that I took a few bullets and suffered from PTSD. They didn't need to be saddled with the rest. But being home was hard. It stirred up all those old, confusing feelings, and I learned firsthand that PTSD was a damn nasty competitor. It came out of nowhere at times and sucked the life out of me, which is why I have these gardens.
He glanced across the yard at the burgeoning gardens and paths, remembering how cathartic working with his hands had been. And after he felt more like himself, how focusing on the bar had also helped him heal.
My old man had me out in his gardens day and night, teaching me everything he knew. He told me it was to help out my mother, since he could no longer use both hands well enough to do the things her garden needed. Bear would show up, and he'd spend hours with us.
He laughed with the memory of the two of them out there on their knees, shooting the shit while they weeded and mulched flower beds.
I was too messed up to realize it until later, but Biggs used gardening to get me out of my own head enough to help me heal. And Bear? He's so damn empathetic he couldn't heal from my wounds until I did. Talk about a reason to get past my shit.
And you still don't call yourself a hero, Finley said, watching as Tinkerbell trotted toward them with the ball in her mouth. The pup plopped down on her butt in front of Finley and dropped the ball. Finley picked it up, holding the slobbery ball by her fingertips. Bullet put out his hand.
No, I can do it. I'm not afraid of dog slobber, just dog bites.
She pulled her arm back, and as she released the ball and Tink took off running after it, Bullet realized it was flying directly toward the pond.
Tink!
He hollered, but the dog was already in the air, front and back legs extended as she dove for the ball. Bullet hauled ass into the water, vaguely aware of Finley calling after him.
Chapter 14
I'm sorry, I didn't know she couldn't swim, Finley said as Bullet trudged from the pond with Tinkerbell in his arms, his clothing and boots drenched.
She can swim just fine, he said as the pup lavished him with kisses. But she freaks out in the water and cries, paddling around in circles. She only goes in after a ball or a stick.
He set Tinkerbell down on the grass, and she immediately shook off the water, showering Finley with stinky pond water. She gasped as the dog did it again, and she couldn't help but laugh.
Tink, Bullet said harshly.
Tinkerbell barked and leaned against Finley, soaking the skirt of her dress.
It's okay, Finley reassured him. I'm the reason you're all wet, so it's only fair that I'm wet, too.
The pooch went paws up on Bullet's stomach, panting happily.
I think she had fun,
Finley offered as Bullet huffed out a breath, and Tinkerbell dropped to all fours.
I'm sure she thinks it's a game, but we're all gonna stink. I need a bather.
He whistled and pointed to the house.
Tink, home.
The dog took off running.
Can I help?
Finley asked. Bullet tugged off his boots, dumped out the remaining water, and pulled off his socks.
You sure? While she freaks out in bodies of water, she loves showers and baths, but you're gonna get soaked.
She looked down at her wet dress.
I think I already am.
Then you won't mind if I do this.
He began pulling off his shirt. Finley saw it as if in slow motion. The drenched cotton slid up his slick skin, revealing ripped abs and sticking to his muscular pecs. He shifted and his lats flared as he tugged it over his head, leaving him in only a drenched, form-fitting pair of Levi's and bare feet. Gosh, she loved a man with bare feet. Bullet's feet were big and masculine, like the rest of him. He held the shirt and his wet boots in one arm and reached for her with the other. His cool, hard chest pressed against her as he captured her lips in a passionate kiss. His body slid against her, getting her wet from the inside out. He made one of those appreciative sounds that sent sparks through her veins, and when their lips parted, the air rushed from her lungs. He pressed a firm kiss beside her ear and said, "Come on, sweet thing. Let's get my other girl cleaned up so we can get nice and dirty." His arms circled her waist, but her legs had forgotten how to function. He gave her an inquisitive glance, and understanding dawned on him, as evident in the slight narrowing of his dark eyes. His hand moved lower, squeezing her bottom, wreaking more havoc with her. And for some crazy reason, her mind reeled back to last night when she'd heard the clink of his heavy belt buckle, which was now gleaming just below his navel, on the hardwood floor. He chuckled and bent at the knees, lifting her up with one arm around her thighs. "Bullet!" she shrieked with laughter. Tinkerbell bolted toward them, barking, making her heart beat even harder. She didn't look like she was going to stop. Bullet took off running toward the house, with Finley over his shoulder, and Tinkerbell was right beside him, her dark eyes locked on Finley. When they reached the back of the house, Tinkerbell went down on her front paws, her butt up in the air, wiggling excitedly, and Bullet lowered Finley into his cradled arms. He pressed his lips to hers, laughing right along with her, and it was the most wonderful sound she'd ever heard. "I really like your laugh," she said as he set her on her feet. Bullet turned away, but not before she saw a flicker of something that looked like embarrassment flash in his eyes. Tinkerbell licked Finley's leg. She reached down to love her up as they followed Bullet to an enormous outdoor washroom behind the garage. It had three walls made of the same type of weathered wide planks as the rest of the house, and a wooden deck for a floor. There were two shower heads, one up very high, obviously installed just for Bullet, and one about a foot to the left of it, much lower, clearly made for Tinkerbell. Two tree stumps served as tables, atop which sat two bottles of shampoo, one for dogs and one for humans, along with a bottle of body wash. There was a utility sink and a deep counter just inside the wall to the right, and, she noticed, there was no door. The washroom overlooked more gardens and a vast grassy lawn. Tinkerbell ran around the room, whimpering and pawing at the faucet. "See?" Bullet said. "She loves this part." He opened a door above the sink to a cabinet built into the wall and pulled out a couple of towels. He set them on the counter, eyeing Finley with a seductive leer. "You might want to take those sexy boots off."
"Good idea."
She sat down on the edge of one of the stumps and began unlacing her boots. Tinkerbell plopped down beside her, and Bullet knelt before Finley, silently taking over. He set her foot on his leg, holding her gaze as he unlaced the boot. After unlacing each hook, he slid his hands along her thigh, making her breathe a little harder. She wasn't used to being with such a virile, sexual man, and as he touched her slowly and purposefully like they had all the time in the world, and looked at her like nothing else existed, his desire invaded her, making her wish she was touching him. He removed that boot and her long frilly sock and pressed a kiss to the top of her foot, then gently set it on the floor. Tinkerbell whimpered, and in her peripheral vision Finley saw her cock her head, her ears perking up. Bullet lifted Finley's other foot and repeated his sensual efforts. She clutched the edge of the stump. The gnarled bark dug into her fingers, which was good, because he was making her so tingly she was afraid she'd go numb. He set the boot and her sock aside and scooted forward between her legs, gripping her outer thighs. His strong hands pressed into her flesh, making her acutely aware of how close his thumbs were to her very needy privates. Finley's pulse skyrocketed as he went up on his knees and leaned forward, his beard tickling her skin as his lips touched her cheek. Tinkerbell's head tilted the other way, and she pawed at Bullet's arm. But Bullet's eyes never left Finley's. Her mouth watered for another taste of him. "Ready to get wet, sweet thing?" he asked in the gravelly voice that sent heat between her legs. "Yes," fell from her lips as she leaned forward and took the kiss she'd been dying for.
Her arms circled his neck as he pulled her legs around his waist and sank back on his heels. Passion stormed through her, releasing all her inhibitions. She kissed him rougher, fisted her hands in his hair, her tongue delving deeper into his mouth, and he was right there with her. She tore her mouth away to taste more of him, kissing his cheeks, his beard, his neck. Then she lowered her mouth to his shoulder. His skin was hot and cold at once. It tasted salty and rugged. Bullet grabbed her bottom, holding her tight as she ground against his arousal. Tinkerbell's paw swiped at them, catching Finley's arm and startling her back to reality. They both drew back, a hot current running between them as Tinkerbell pawed at Bullet.
"You've turned me into a nympho,"
she whispered, as if Tinkerbell might understand.
"No, babe. We've awakened parts of each other no one else could ever touch."
She pulled him closer, hugging him to her, and spoke against his neck.
"Then I never want them to go to sleep again."
Tinkerbell nudged her big wet head between them.
"I think we need to wash your girl."
Finley smiled as she crawled off his lap. She pulled at his hand, trying to get him to rise to his feet, but Tinkerbell leapt into his lap and licked his entire face, earning another hearty laugh from her man.
"All right, you spoiled girl."
He kissed her snout and pushed to his feet, quickly stealing another kiss from Finley. They both got drenched and soapy as they bathed Tinkerbell, and they laughed more than Finley could ever remember laughing. She swore Bullet was like a different man since telling her more about his experiences and PTSD. She didn't want to change him and hadn't set out to do it, but the lightness surrounding him right now at this very moment was like a gift from the heavens above. A peek at the man trapped someplace deep within him. Tinkerbell shook herself off so many times the walls of the washroom looked like it had rained. Bullet used a towel to pat her down. Then she took off running around the yard. "She won't go in the pond?" Finley asked as he stalked toward her with a heated look in his eyes. She couldn't stop grinning like a fool, which he seemed to make her do often. Maybe she needed him in her life just as much as he needed her.
"Nope, but she'll be busy for a while."
He lowered his mouth to her neck, brushing kisses there and driving her wild.
"It's my turn to bathe you now."
He lifted the hem of her dress and she grabbed his hands.
"What if someone comes over?"
"We'll hear them. No one comes over who doesn't drive a motorcycle."
His tongue grazed the shell of her ear, and he guided her hand between his legs. His hardness electrified her.
"You hold the reins, Lollipop. You want to go for a ride?"
"I've never done this before outside."
Her voice trembled, but the idea of making love to Bullet right there with the hot sun baking their damp skin totally turned her on. She was too aroused to find her voice, so she squeezed his erection and he crashed his mouth over hers. She met his efforts with reckless abandon as they tore at each other's clothes, and he dug out a condom from his soaking wet wallet and sheathed himself. He lifted her into his arms, his naked body pressing deliciously against hers, as she sank down on his shaft, sighing at the incredible pleasure of becoming one with him. When he was buried to the hilt, he held her there, neither of them moving, both barely breathing, and her heart came tumbling out.
"I love being in your arms. Don't ever let me go."
"Never, Lollipop," he said vehemently. "Tell me you're mine."
This time she wasn't taking a chance of him not hearing her promise. She touched her forehead to his and said,
"I'm yours, Bullet. Wholly and completely yours."
"Oh, baby."
The emotions in his voice burrowed into her heart as she lowered her mouth to his, sealing her vow. His cock twitched inside her, sending ripples of lust vibrating through her, and she began moving, riding him faster, harder, taking him as deep as she could with every thrust of his hips. She clung to his shoulders, gasping between messy, frantic kisses. Their moans and sinful noises sailed into the air, and she felt so free she allowed them to flow, low and needy, each one earning another groan, another greedy noise from Bullet. Every sound he made for her, because of her, sent her climbing higher, moving faster, chasing the rush of emotions flooding her,
until she was out of breath, her control hanging on by a thread.
"Let go, beautiful. Come with me now," Bullet demanded.
The sheer need in his voice, the power of his passion, set off a series of explosions inside her.
"Bullet!"
She dug her nails into his shoulders as her body arched and clenched. His fingers fisted in her hair as he found his own.